بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، وصل الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Respected listeners and lovers of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, may Allah give us tawfiq to learn more about the glorious Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, because certainly it is through them that the deen reached to us in its pure and pristine form. Like we just learned about the great Sahabi Burayda radiallahu anhu. Imagine through him, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave du'as to his tribe. Aslamu salamaha Allah wa ghifarun ghafarallahu laha. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a for those tribes because of Burayda radiallahu anhu. So Burayda radiallahu anhu won du'as for his people. Another great Sahabi who also embarked this great journey, the historical journey of Hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was none other than Amir ibn Fuhayra radiyallahu an. Now who was Amir ibn Fuhayra? Who was he? He was a freed slave during the Meccan period. Aisha radiyallahu anha says that she had belonged to her brother. Her brother was Tufail, her brother from her mother, the son of Abdullah bin Sakhbara. Ruman radiallahu anha's family we discussed recently. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, Amir belonged to that family. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu purchased him and liberated him. This was the kind-hearted nature of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was a mercy unto people. And in the early initial stages, the da'wat of deen was presented to Amir radiallahu anhu, and he had embraced Islam even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's madrasa, markaz, was established in Makkah Mukarrama. And that madrasa is none other than Arqam radiallahu anhu's home, where Sahaba radiallahu anhum would gather and halqas of ta'aleem would take place, effort of iman would take place. And interestingly, in that gathering of ta'aleem, it was mainly the learning of iman. Even the verses of Quran that was revealed during this stage of our history was or is the verses in regards to iman, yaqeen, jannah, jahannam, the stories of the anbiya, alayhi musallatu minallahi wa taslimat. I request all our listeners, when making tilawat of the Quran, Allah give us tawfiq, take note of what chapter it is and where this chapter was revealed. A Makki surah or a Madani surah. It will enhance our sweetness and understanding when making tilawat of the Quran Kareem. So Amir radiallahu anhu was amongst those who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with his wealth, purchased and liberated. Amongst the satis of Amir radiallahu anhu, they are known as Bilalun wa sahbuhu, the satis of Bilal radiallahu anhu, were others as well. Hamama radiallahu anha, Amir bin Fuhira, Abu Fukayha, Ummu Anis, her daughter Latifa, who was, and also Labina and Zinnira, amongst others, radiallahu anhum wa anhun, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would go out of his way to liberate and help and assist, because they were brothers and sisters in Islam. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, who rendered words of poetry in praise of Bilal radiallahu anhu towards his khidmah that he made towards these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, poor, needy, weak individual and personnel, to such an extent that Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, advises his son that, oh my son, why do you liberate needy people, poor people, people that cannot give you a hand tomorrow when you are in need? Rather liberate others to become your mawali. Because if you liberate a slave, he becomes or she becomes your mawla, a freed slave, and there is loyalty and there is some connection that remains forever and ever. That's why even in the matters and the laws of mirath and inheritance, they come into the equation. And there is a great link to them. So his father advises him that rather liberate those who would be there for you tomorrow. His son Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is known as Atiq, the one who Allah liberated and freed from Jahannam. This great Sahabi responds to his father, that father, I am not freeing them and purchasing them and helping them because I want anything from them tomorrow. I'm only doing it for the pleasure of Allah. Quran reveals Surah Al-Layl, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's love for Allah is discussed. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا بْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not giving and liberating and helping people because he wants a favor from them tomorrow. He's doing it merely, only, wholly, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ammar radiallahu anhu renders, he says, Jazallahu khayran an bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aban jahli ashiyatahamma fi bilalin bisawatin walam yahdhara ma yahdharu almar'u dhul aqli bitawhidihi rabbal anami wa qawlihi shahidtu bi anna Allah rabbi ala mahal فإن يقتلوني يقتلوني فلم أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب إبراهيم والعبد يونس وموسى وعيسى نجني ثم لا تبلي لمن ظل يهوى الغي من آل غالب على غير بر كان منه ولا عدل. عمار رضي الله عنه makes dua for Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه, and he says, may Allah reward abundantly Atiq radiallahu anhu on behalf of Bilal and his satis. May Allah reward Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immensely. And Allah, may Allah disgrace Faqih and Abu Jahl, who used to harm Bilal radiallahu anhu and his satis. And they never worried and feared what would the repercussion be tomorrow by Allah. And they punished Amir radiallahu anhu and Bilal radiallahu anhu. Why? Because they believed in one Allah. And they bore testimony, Shahidtu bi anna Allah Rabbi, that I bear witness that Allah is my Rabb no matter what you do to me. Whether you kill me or harm me, I'll never ascribe a partner unto Rahman, because I don't fear dying in his cause. This was the people that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu liberated. So amongst them on the top of the list was Amir bin Fuhayra radiallahu anhu. Amir radiallahu anhu played one of the major roles on the journey of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave of Thawr with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu for those 3 nights, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, would spend the day amongst the people of Makkah, hearing what's their plans and their moves. And at night he would sneak out stealthily and he would spend the night by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum. The hadith mentions, فَهُوَ غُلَامٌ شَابٌ ثَقِفٌ لَقِنٌ فَيَدَّلِجُ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمَا بِسَحَرٌ. He was a very intelligent, wise, sharp young man. He would depart from them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, bisahar. Sahar is the early part of the morning. As soon as, or just before Fajr would come in. Just before Fajr comes in, that is Sahar. Then, as soon as Fajr comes in, it's called Ghalas. Amir bin Fuhayra would depart, leaving near the cave at Ghalas. So interesting is the Arabic language. For every hour of the day and the night, there's a different Arabic word. Like the hours of the night would be Shafaq, Ghasaq, Atama, Sudfa, Fahma, Zalla, Zulfa, Buhra, Sahar. Sahar is the last portion of Tahajjud. Then Fajr comes in, then Subh comes in. So Abdullah bin Abi Bakr would depart at Sahar. And Amir bin Fuhayra with the flock. So meaning he came with the flock along that route. So that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sati could have milk to drink at night. And after Abdullah bin Abi Bakr would depart at Tahajjud, then with Amir bin Fuhayra, in the early portions of Fajr, which is called Ghalas, he would follow the tracks of Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, covering his tracks, not leaving any trail behind Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, not allowing them to find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved sati Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. This was the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's plan and the wisdom of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also learn the importance of caution from this hadith. We learn not to be haphazard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us to do things promptly, professionally, properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take the means, or put it this way, Allah allows us to take the means, but not relying on the means. Rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, there is the level of the, you know, the righteous and the people of taqwa that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, and they had that very, very high level of taqwa. But this is the general level. We take the means and we place our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how fortunate would Amir radiallahu anhu be to be gifted by Allah this opportunity to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq also to be in the company of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lovers of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Damat Barakatuhum quotes so beautifully, Ahlul Hadithi Humu أهل النبي وإن لم يصحبوا نفسه أنفاسه صحبوا. He says the scholars of hadith, those who spend their life searching for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has been passed down by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to their students and then to their students and then to their students. He says أهل الحديث, the scholars of hadith and the students of hadith are Ahlul Nabi, are the closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and are the people of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even though they were not afforded the opportunity to be in the company of his person sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah's mercy is that they accompany his breaths day and night. Allah ta'ala make us of those, and Allah may Allah give us tawfiq to be close to those who are the students and the scholars of hadith. Amir radiallahu anhu would have noticed that occasion when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu presented the two camels in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, camels that he fed personally and he prepared for this journey. And he presents them to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to choose. And he notices how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuses this camel from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu insists, O Nabi of Allah, you must take my camel. I prepared it for you. It is for you, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, O Abu Bakr, bithaman, I must pay you for it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ulama write, ulama explain that see, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, striving for Allah is so valuable that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to go in Allah's path with his own wealth and his own conveyance. We learn something from here, that it's very, very important for one to go in Allah's path and contribute to one's going out in Allah Ta'ala's path. This is more beneficial. That's why we learn from our seniors and our elders, where they explain, go in Allah's path with yourself and your wealth. It's easy to say, I'll pay, let him go. Or it's easy to say, I'll go if he pays. No, that is not the full ilaj and treatment. The treatment of the nafs is when we pay ourselves. And Allah give us tawfiq to pay for others who really want to go and they can't manage. And the treatment for the ilaj of the pride, Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us and cure us from our ailments and diseases, spiritually and physically, especially spiritually. That is when we go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, ourselves, then Allah Ta'ala makes our special tarbiyah. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paid his own to go in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, en route, Amir radiallahu anhu benefited from the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when they met Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad al-Dalil radiallahu anhu, when they met Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anhu, he saw these barakat. When they had met Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhumah, on their return journey from Sham, they had returned with material to sell cloth, and they clothed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with new white kurtas. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciated the gift of Talha and Sa'ad, Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhuma. We learned that earlier, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't accept the gift of Suraqa bin Malik, who later became radiallahu anhu. And he did accept a gift from Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha, and he did accept from Sa'ad and from Zubayr and Talha radiallahu anhuma. So we learn that when we do not take in every situation. We have to see when it is a benefit for the person and what intention a person is giving with. If a person is giving for Allah's pleasure, and here we learn mizaj of giving. When we give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what temperament should we have is that it is my need to give. It is not the one who is receiving that needs my gift. I am giving because I am in need to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, and I need the dua of this individual that I am giving. With this temperament we should give. And even when we serve Allah's deen, we should have this conviction that deen doesn't need me. Deen belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anbiya alayhi salam sacrificed for deen. So I need to sacrifice for deen. It is Allah's mercy when Allah gives me tawfiq to give or serve His Mubarak deen in any way. This is the temperament in which we should give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Like the businessman who came to contribute for the first time toward Darul Ulum Dioban by Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat said that, brother, I welcome you and Allah, I appreciate your efforts, Allah reward you, but it is not our way to accept from a person the first time, not knowing you and so forth. This person insisted, but Hazrat refused. And then he left, but he stuffed the money in the shoes of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Rahmatullah Ali. And when Hazrat came out of his office, he found, as putting his foot in his shoe, he found that it was stuffed with these notes. So Hazrat in shock taught a lesson to his students around him that see dunya, when you turn away from it, Allah will bring it to you with humility, meaning Allah will give you izzat and dunya will be disgraced underneath your feet. Like Nawaz Sharif when he offered a great amount to Haji Abdul Wahab rahmatullah alayh, saying that fix the road towards Markaz, Raiwind, and it was a large, an exorbitant amount. And Hazrat said that, no, I don't want this. I want you to come out in Allah Ta'ala's path. So he said, such a big amount, who would give you such a big amount? He looks at the note or the check and returns it and says that who would return it to? Who would refuse it to? So we learn that this is the mizaj that we have to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, with conviction that deen is independent because deen belongs to Allah. We need deen. We need to serve Allah's deen. And we want Allah Ta'ala to accept us for His Mubarak deen. When they arrived in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Amir radiallahu anhu to stay for a while with Sa'ad bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also stayed there and also stayed some time with Kulthum bin Hadam. Kulthum ibn Hadm radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Sa'ad bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu, a great Sahabi, welcomed Amir radiallahu anhu, took care of him. When Mu'akha took place, the pact of brotherhood, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an effort to explain to Sahaba and create this love amongst them, that do not look at the next through his color or race or nationality or language. Look at the other with the lens of brotherhood, that we are Muslims, we love one another, our background doesn't make a difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our goal and our purpose, and Islam has united us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created a pact of brotherhood between Amir radiallahu anhu and Harith bin Aus bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Something else interesting happened when they arrived in Medina Munawwara. It was that the Meccans from Makkah Mukarrama were not accustomed to the environment of Medina Munawwara. When I say environment, I mean the system of oxygen and the abundance or the cluster of date palm trees. So it was slightly claustrophobic for them. It wasn't that kind of oxygen like in Makkah Mukarrama. So many of them in the initial stages became ill. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was quite ill in the initial stages, including Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu. Bilal radiallahu anhu was emotional. He would cry and say, I miss Makkah Mukarrama. He would say, Ala hal abitanna laylatan biwadi wa hawli idkhirun wa jalilu wa hal aridan yawman miyah majinnatin wa hal yabduwan li shamatun wa tafilu. He's yearning for the lands of Makkah Mukarrama and the valleys and the water. Ulama write under this that he was missing the sweetness of iman and sacrifice in Makkah Mukarrama. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would quote the statement of Hukaym Nahshali, where he would in the sickness say, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مُصَبَّحٌ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَالْمَوْتُ أَدْنَى مِنْ شَرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ. Every person is fine in the morning with his family, but death is closer to one in to an individual even closer than one's shoelace. Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu would render these words, لَقَدْ وَجَدْتُ الْمَوْتَ قَبْلَ ذَوْقِهِ إِنَّ الْجَبَانَ حَتْفُهُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ مُجَاهِدٌ بِطَوْقِهِ كَالثَّوْرِ يَحْمِي جِلْدَهُ بِرَوْقِهِ. He would say, certainly I have tasted death before its actual arrival. قَبْلَ ذَوْقِهِ, before tasting it fully, I already found it. And then he says, one who is a coward, his death is hovering right just above him. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not accustomed to the oxygen system of Medina Munawwara. Something interesting as far as the cause of this is concerned is that normally every tree breathes in carbon dioxide and exhales, breathes out oxygen. This is Allah's mercy to humanity. Imagine Allah's Qudra, we are breathing in oxygen. The tree is breathing out oxygen. We are breathing out carbon dioxide. The tree is breathing in, inhaling carbon dioxide. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Medina Munawwara is clustered with date palm trees. This is one of the bounties of Medina Munawwara, one of the specialities of the holy city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The date palm tree is a special tree. It's not an ordinary tree. Mentioned in many ahadith, it is loved by the Arab and more so it's loved by the Muslim. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, أَكْرِمُوا عَمَّتَكُمُ النَّخْلَةِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, honor your aunt, your paternal aunt, the nakhla, the date palm tree. And another Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained why your paternal aunt is the same soil Adam alayhi salam was created from, was formulated from, is the same soil the date palm tree was created from. And in many ahadith, in the riwayah of Bukhari, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sahaba a quiz one day. And he explained to them, asking them about this tree that is very beneficial and it is similar to the believer. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum listened attentively. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, knowing the answer but remained silent because of shyness and out of respect for the seniors. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained after that, that this is the date palm tree. It is like a believer because a believer is firmly rooted in Iman. This tree is firmly rooted as well. And in many ways it is like the believer because a believer is sweet in Iman and sweet in A'mal. And this tree is also like the human being. Like any ordinary tree, if you chop off the top of the tree, it continues to grow. But the date palm tree possesses something on top called a jumbar that is similar to the head or the heart of a human being. If you chop off a person's hands or feet, he would still continue living. But if you chop off his head or heart or cut out his heart, he would cease to live. Same like this tree. If you chop off the jumbar, it ceases to exist. And that is a very, very beneficial part of the tree. And very similar to the human being is if you press the bark with your nail, something similar to the scent of semen or the look of semen would emanate. And also it breathes oxygen as we discussed. And also it is very beneficial. And there's so many names to the date palm tree, every size of the date palm tree. And even the dates that come from there have so many names. And every stage of the date has a different name also. As soon as it starts to grow like a shoot, it's called a tala. And then the next stage, the date is called an igrid. Then it just starts to ripen slightly and take color. It's called balah. And then that color becomes more colored. It becomes zahu. And then it becomes half ripe and half still unripe. Then it's called busr. And then it becomes ripened fully and fresh and juicy and soft. It now is termed rutab. And then when it becomes dry, it is termed tamar. And there's so many names for dates. So it's a very, very beneficial tree. This is one of the causes of the different environment in Medina Munawwara. It took some time for them to get used to. But as soon as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for Medina Munawwara. that Allah make Medina Munawwara more beloved to us. And whatever humma or plague or sickness that could be here, Allah, you take it away to another, take it elsewhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately cleansed Medina Munawwara from any sort of difficulty or challenge. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum really loved Medina Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Medina Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love Medina Munawwara. Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this city, Allah has named the city Tayba and Taba. The city is the pure city, the beautiful city, the one wonderful city. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the former name, namely Yathrib, because even though a man in ancient history came there whose name was Yathrib, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like the meaning of that word, which is destructive or destruction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the word. Allah give us tawfiq to love Medina Munawwara, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite mercy accept us through His grace and mercy to leave this world with kalima in Medina Munawwara. Bi rahmatihi wa mannihi wa karamihi. So Amir radiallahu anhu served Allah's deen in Medina Munawwara, participated in Badr, joined in all the expeditions, was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, joined Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was amongst the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are known as Ashabus Suffah, the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They made great sacrifices. They devoted their lives in learning the deen of Allah ta'ala. They went through hunger. They went through difficulties. They went through challenges. But in all conditions, they stayed, they remained, they learned, they practiced, and they imparted. It was the fourth year after Hijrah. And Uhud had passed already. Uhud was a very great challenge for the Muslims, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because 70 had lost their lives. Now there was an area in Najd where a man by the name of Amir bin Tufail, so this man, another man, Amir bin Tufail, sent a request to Medina Munawwara asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send the jamaat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to teach Allah's deen and to do da'wat in their vicinity and area. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In another report, 40 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Actually, 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhum traveled this route going to that region, and they went to teach the deen of Allah ta'ala. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They went to teach the deen of Allah. They sacrificed the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but to uplift deen in the four corners of the world. These people wanted them. They went to teach Allah ta'ala's deen. When they get there, they set camp and they started meeting the people, inviting them to Allah. And they first sent someone to meet the leader. That individual's name was Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu anhu. But anyway, who was amongst this delegation of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were the scholars, who were the very, very educated, learned students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? None other than our hero, Amir ibn Fuhayrata radiallahu anhu. He was amongst them. Anyway, Haram bin Milhan radiallahu anhu takes the message to this chief, and as he is presenting the da'wat of deen, the message of Allah ta'ala's deen to this ruler, he had then commanded one of his men to stab the Sahabi and kill the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And as this assassin, at that time, Jabbar bin Abi Salma, pierces his dagger in the rear of the Sahabi, in his back, and it penetrates his chest, squirting out all his blood, the Sahabi raises his hand in the form of dua, raising his eyes to the sky, saying, "O my Rabb, Fuztu Rabbil Kaaba, I have triumphed, I have succeeded, I have won by the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba." So he's making shukr to Allah that in the fulfillment of the task for which they were sent, meaning to give the da'wat of deen, to invite to Allah Ta'ala, in that he gave his life, Sahaba's conviction, that is success. Those who viewed this scene were shocked. Jabbar went to Sahaba and asked them that this man I killed. This is what he said. Sahaba explained to him what was meant, what is true success, what is true salvation, to strive for Allah and give life for Allah and sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to such an extent that Jabbar then became Muslim radiallahu anhu. Anyway, the chief of that area then designated all the other tribes there to attack the Sahaba who came there as their muhsineen, to be good to them, to show them kindness. But they attacked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in fighting back and defending themselves, all of them became shaheed. Every one of them became shaheed, except one Sahabi by the name of Amr bin Umayyah al-Damri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But amongst them was one very, very special individual, and this was a very, very special incident. That is, they came to ask the Sahaba that as we were killing you all, there was one man who was raised to the skies. What happened to him? Sahaba looked for his body, those who were still alive at that time, and his body was nowhere to be seen. That was the body of Amir bin Fuhira radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designated the malaika to raise his body to the sky. Subhanallah. This was the maqam and the shan of this sahabi and all the sahaba radiallahu anhum who gave their lives, who devoted their lives to the deen of Allah ta'ala. The sahabi was raised to the sky. Sahaba couldn't find his body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions this report in his Al-Bidayah. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Amir radiallahu anhu, Inna al-malaika dawarat juthatahu, the malaika of Allah buried him. وَأُنزِلَ عِلِّيِّينَ, and his ruh was then taken to عِلِّيِّينَ. And عِلِّيِّينَ is mentioned in Suratul Mutaffifin. Subhanallah. This was that Sahabi radiallahu anhu who made khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on hijrah like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did, who strove for Allah ta'ala's deen, who studied deen all his life, who imparted the deen of Allah ta'ala, and in that he gave his life. Ibn Sayyid al-Nas rahimahullah mentioned so beautifully these couplets. He says, وَقَضَى كَذَلِكَ عَامِرٌ ثُمَّ ارْتَقَى نَحْوَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْ شَرْجَعِي. And likewise, like the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum who gave their lives for Allah, Amir radiallahu anhu did as well. And then he raised to the sky. He raised up high towards the sky to such an extent that there was no remainder of him, no remnant of him on this earth. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْ شَرْجَعِي, that there was no body of him found on earth. He was raised to the sky, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was raised to عِلِّيِّينَ. So this was a very tragic event that took place simultaneously with another event that took place just before this, which is known as Raji'a. This is known as Bi'r Ma'una, where 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhum were made shaheed. And the one just before this was Raji', where 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Amir there was Asim bin Thabit bin Abil Aqlah radiallahu anhu. The Amir here was Munzir bin Amr radiallahu anhu, whose title was Al-Mu'niq lil-Mawt or Al-Mu'taq li-Yamut. It means one who was devoted to give life for Allah. Or the other meaning is Al-Mu'taq li-Yamut, the one who's freed to die. This was a title to the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Anyway, these two events brought a lot of grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even more sadness than Uhud. Uhud was straight battle. Sahaba radiallahu anhu lost their lives. Here, it was sheer treachery. And this brought so much of grief to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Salah and in Qunut for 30 days continued making dua and qunut, crying over these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that how they lost their lives and they gave their lives for Allah's deen. The verse was revealed in Quran in the report of Muslim. Imam Muslim rahimahullah narrates this hadith wherein these Sahaba asked Allah to convey a message, and this was revealed. أَبَلِّغْ عَنَّا نَبِيَّنَا إِنَّا قَدْ لَقِيْنَاكَ فَرَضِينَا عَنْكَ وَرَضِيْتَ عَنَّا. That Allah Ta'ala, that these Sahaba cried, O Allah, convey the message to our Nabi. Meaning, why are they asking Allah to convey the message to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying over their departure. These are his beloved students. O Allah, convey our message to our Nabi that we have met you and we are happy with you and you are happy with us. So this verse is not recited in the Quran, it's abrogated. Its recital is abrogated. But the incident remains forever and ever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys the message of these shuhada, these great sahaba who came to teach the deen of Allah, and in that they gave their lives. This was conveyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted sahaba radiallahu anhum's lives. What sacrifices were given, but how many people got hidayat? How many people's lives changed? And those who still were adamant on arrogance and pride and haughtiness, like Amir bin Tufail, this individual, what disgrace Allah Ta'ala gave him, it's reported in the Sihah. And the narrator of that hadith is Mawlah bin Kathif Dababi radiallahu anhu, a sahabi who lived a very long life, and he took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as. He lived 120 years. He was 20 when he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he remained like that 100 years in Islam. Anyway, he narrates this hadith that Amir bin Tufail went through so much of pain and his glands became sick and poisonous. غُدَّةٌ كَغُدَّةِ الْبَعِيرِ. And now he had to take resort in one woman's home, and he felt so much of shame and remorse and pain. Then he felt even more grieved that he's dying at home doing nothing. So he got onto his horse, and even with a lot of disgrace, Allah Ta'ala gave him death, where he would say that غُدَّةٌ كَغُدَّةِ الْبَعِيرِ وَمَوْتٌ فِي بَيْتٍ سَلُولِيَّ. A disease has afflicted me, harming my glands and causing poison to it, like the disease of an animal, and my death is decreed in a home of a woman from the Salul tribe. So Allah Ta'ala brought lots of disgrace to him because he disrespected Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. One very interesting hadith Amir bin Fuhira radiallahu anhu reports is, he says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu carried some food on our journey. So Ibn Manda rahimahullah's report states that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu carried food, something we call patkos, some food for the journey for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion of Usra, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu carried a container with butter and a container with asal, of honey. بِنَحْيٍ مِنْ سَمْنٍ وَعُقَيْكَةٍ مِنْ عَسَلٍ عَلَى مَا كُنَّا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْجُهْدِ. That with the difficulty Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu carried this along to feed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make ikram of his saatis radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Anyway, Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah mentions here, and he quotes Abu Nu'aym rahimahullah, that wording of usra is incorrect. Actually, he is referring to the journey of hijrah, because Amir bin Fuhayra was no longer alive during the occasion of usra, because usra is Tabuk, and Amir bin Fuhayra radiallahu anhu was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the journey of hijrah. So this hadith, Amir bin Fuhayra radiallahu anhu is exquisite in narrating, meaning the food that was carried on the journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to make the khidmah. And as we know, there's other hadith that are in the reports where Asma radiallahu anha would bring food for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the saatis to feed them and so forth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq also to always feed the pious friends of Allah, and to feed the needy and feed the poor, and let us have the mizaj of sahaba radiallahu anhum. When we serve Allah's deen, when we be able to do any qurbani or sacrifice or any contribution to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, never feel deen needs us, but really it is us who needs the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.